This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Starting is always awkward.
Isn't it? Isn't it just... Okay, well, we've chatted.
Yeah.
We've chatted, and now shut the fuck up so we can do a show.
Thank you.
Jade Gulliver presents a collection of podcast interviews about podcasts and media makers. Welcome to the Podcraft.
This is episode 3 of the Podcraft, the podcast about podcasts. My name is Jade Gulliver. My guests today are the guys who bring TV Addicts Everywhere, the Box Cutters podcast, Josh Canal, Brett Cropley, and John Richards. Welcome to the Podcraft.
Thanks, Jade.
Thank you very much.
Now, the Box Cutters is proudly a podcast-only show.
Absolutely.
What is it that's awesome about podcasts?
About being podcast-only?
Like, yeah.
Well, I think the fact that it's not, we're not governed by any radio station hierarchy, so we don't have any of that political stuff that goes on with having a radio show and hoping that the person who fills that seat on the board likes that radio show, and also, you know, not having to really make a show that is enjoyed by a committee or by some coke-snorting suit who thinks he knows more about the audience than the audience does.
Which is weird, though, because coke-snorting suits love us.
I know.
We're really popular with that crowd. I got the timing, though. I actually like the fact that, you know, there's that thing of going, we're enjoying this guest. What's it gonna, you know, no one has to go, oh, that's all we've got time for, plug your new album. Whereas our show, like, yeah, the comments left on the blog, I find them really interesting. And it's great to go, look, I might only be broadcasting to, you know, a few thousand people, but there's probably a few thousand people I would like to meet rather than, you know, people I would look down on.
That's a lovely way to look at it, and I think a more selfish way to look at it as well.
Box Cutters is about TV. Why TV? What is it about TV?
TV's great.
Yeah.
It's TV.
What I really like about your show, right, is that there's this kind of TV is spoken about with this intelligence and this kind of and it's given credibility, whereas, like, you know, we're always hearing about how the idiot box is, you know, just rotting our brains.
There is a lot of talk about
when I came on. I mean, Josh had said to me, basically, you know, actually we were at a party, I think was before I came on as guest, and Josh said, what do you think of television? And I said, well, it's kind of the dominant art form at the moment. And he went, yes it is.
Is there anything coming out of Australia that's of note?
We talk a lot about why is Australian television so bad, I think, because actually, you know, we do incredibly good children's television.
Mm-hmm.
We occasionally do a good comedy, but it's often, I think, accidental. Like, I don't think we actually have an industry that's any good at developing, you know.
It's only accidental when it's not John Clark. Like, if someone gives John Clark a whole bunch of money and says, go and make us a comedy series, he'll go, okay, I can do that. And he'll come out with 8 episodes of something hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we had a series called The Golden Age of Television on Box Cutters. Only one Australian show. Well, the games kind of made it in, just kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But Love My Way is the only drama that made it in. And that's because Love My Way is something that we hadn't seen in Australian television for a very long time, which was actors committing to a role, really getting in there and living the role.
There's also, I think, a problem with the concepts often in Australian programming. It's like, you know, go to an American program and well, name me a really good American program.
Deadwood. The
Wire. Well, okay, so yeah, both of those. It's like, well, what are they about? Well, one's, you know, a Western, it's about this. And then you've also got, you know, the levels of it's about commitment to each other. The Wire's, again, it's a police show. So there's always these two levels. You know what the genre is, you know how the genre works, and you do it really well. You also know what the kind of metaphor you're trying to do with the program is. Our stuff is like, what's Packed to the Rafters about? Some people at a house. How ordinary. Yeah, and that's I think, the problem with Australian television. We don't go bigger. We don't look at a bigger picture. We're not looking at a big metaphor. We're just doing some stuff.
Do you think that Australian television is so bad because our award show is voted by the readers of TV Week.
No.
It is an interesting point, though, that Jay was saying, like, no other country...
Damning the faint prize.
No other country kind of, you know, like, you might have the People's Choice Awards as well as the BAFTAs or as well as the Emmys or something, but, you know, we're the only country that puts them first. It goes, oh, yeah, and you can win an AFI award, too.
The TV that you often talk about is this obscure stuff that I haven't really ever heard of before. If you're not watching Australian TV, where are you finding those shows that you want to listen to?
You're finding it legally, Jade. You're finding it legally.
Yes.
That's the end.
There's a guy who, let's call him Gary, and he just is just not far from here, on like just off Bourke Street. Mm-hmm. He wears a large coat, and I go to him. I give him $20. He gives me some television.
But this is the thing, though. We talk about this often. That the fascinating thing about television is that it's changing. That there are now the two concepts. There's television, the box in the corner of your room, and there's television, the thing you watch on television. You know, people don't watch TV on TV when it's broadcast anymore. And the only people who haven't worked that out now are the TV stations. They're the kind of the last ones who are still trying to work out what to do with it. So, like in America, things like Hulu.
How are you deciding what's the television that you're going to cover? Like, how do you find, oh, this is a good show? What are you doing?
We watch everything.
Yeah, you watch everything?
We do.
Something's bad. The Box Cutters family, as I believe we can call them. They actually...
Because they are largely your brother.
yeah, he loves it. No, but we genuinely have this involvement with people. They send us links for things. They send us news stories. They suggest TV shows. So, yeah, I think we get quite a few people just to go, I'm enjoying this show. I'd be curious to see what you guys like. And usually we hate it, which is a bit bad because we probably lose a listener every time that happens.
And also because we're looking up the news every week. And so coming across reports of what is coming up and who's working on what and that sort of stuff.
I think it's really interesting just hearing about, you know, these shows. I mean, all the shows that you've mentioned as good shows, they never even get good time slots here. Every show is put on like some random 10:30 time slot. Shows, one of my favourite shows is 30 Rock, and it gets, you know, it's played one week
I never understand the approach to 30 Rock.
And it's almost Australian like television. You it's have to go and watch it on the internet if you want to keep up on
but
it.
But also it's better. I mean, like, you know, in some ways I think we get the better deal. Like, if I can sit down and decide what I'm going to watch it, then why does Channel 9 need to tell me anyway? And, you know, it's almost like I don't need them. They kind of need me.
See, what you're doing there, though, John, is you're making up your own mind and having individual thought.
So you guys are now trying to make money out of your podcast.
Please give us cash.
How difficult is it? And do you think it'll ever be a viable thing that someone could just be a professional podcaster?
I know that it's a viable thing that some people can be professional podcasters.
Is that essentially what Leo is?
That is essentially what Leo is. I mean, he does have a radio show that he also does, but most of his time is spent doing podcasts. Mm-hmm. And Leo Laporte does the Twit Network, which is This Week in Tech, but also This Week in Law, Net at Night, This Week in Fun, a whole bunch of shows that are all recorded out of this studio that he has now built. And it's built out of the donations that he's received from podcast listeners, but also advertising. He does have in-show advertising now. And he makes a living and also manages to pay staff through podcasting. I think that's exceptional, and I really regard him as an inspiration to the way that the medium is going. I think
we're having an experiment at the moment with Amazon affiliates. Again, which came from, like we mentioned earlier, people started telling me that they had gone out and bought, you know, DVD box sets of things on our recommendation, and I thought, why can't we have some of that? So the idea is that now, you know, we put up links, and if you're interested in buying the show, you can buy it from Amazon. We get a chunk of the money. That's an interesting idea, and I think it could in theory work. We're going to see, you know, how it goes. But it kind of makes sense. Like, we're going, well, we're telling you about this product. You could buy the product, you know. The only important thing for us too is to make sure it doesn't affect how we review. So we can still go, this show completely sucks. And if you want to purchase it, it's at Amazon.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, as long as it doesn't affect the actual content.
The editorial.
Yeah. You know, I think that's an interesting approach to see if that is a way of doing it. And of course, if people like the show, they can purchase those links to help us. And, you know, the idea is to try and create love rather than shaking people for money.
And it's not that often that we all see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. See, Josh doesn't actually have much taste, so he's quite often wrong.
It's one of the problems with having to watch everything is that your taste just goes out the window.
It is quite interesting when we come in and go. John Adams, for example, a 7-part HBO miniseries about American politics, and we all went, "That was brilliant!" And
it was genius.
It was just such a relief. We all liked it. Yeah.
We have been approached by people wanting to advertise in the show itself.
Yeah.
And that then gets a little bit tricky because we have to actually look at who it is wanting to advertise. How is that going to affect the commentary that we have? If they're an industry person, then that... Sorry, an industry institution, then that causes extra problems. You know, we can't really have advertising from even TV.com or...
TV Week.
The Green Guard. You know, none of those people could really advertise in our show because we
can't really recommend the product, can we? We can't be seen to be sort of selling the product on their behalf.
Yeah, so it needs to be...
Yeah, it's kind of... It depends. It's quite complicated, though. I don't want to see us as salesmen for a company, you know. I mean, unless, I guess, it was a company we all... Again, all three of us went, they really are great.
I don't think TV Week or The Green Guide would want to advertise with us because we are... In essence, their competition. It's a bit like commercial TV not wanting community TV.
But it was just an example, though, of television associated entities. I think pretty much any television associated entity would want to be associated with another television associated entity, but that's a problem.
It would be hard to, as I think, for something like Foxtel, since we've already mocked their advertising campaign on air. But also, just that thing. That's when I think it gets a bit.
But also, at the same time, Josh loves them.
But there is no way that we would take advertising from Foxtel. There's no way that we would take advertising from Freeview. There's no way that we would take advertising from any of those things that could be perceived as basically corrupting our point of view. Because one of the big things about podcasting is that you have the listener's ear. And the listener trusts that what you're saying is what you believe. And as soon as that goes out the window, then there's no reason for them to tune in.
It is a much more intimate relationship because the listener knows that we're three guys in a studio. You know, like we're not an entity or an organization or, they're aware that they're hearing us, I think, quite honestly, sort of connecting to them. And they can connect back to us through all the various communication, you know, way. And we do. We have so much stuff we do on the show because it's recommended by listeners or because it's been suggested by listeners. So, yeah, to suddenly go and buy this product that, you know, 2 months ago we were slagging off would be kind of a bit wrong.
Yeah. When you say that we're trying to make money, at the moment we're just trying to cover our costs.
Now you're asking, with your audience, so you've waited all of this time to sort of say, all right, well, now we're going to sell T-shirts. Is it, and you've been doing the show for 4 years, is that when you've started to feel like the audience would support you now or you've got enough of an audience or how do you sort of
Josh
judge that?
Just run out of love. I would still do it for love.
Yeah.
It would be nice to get some sort of monetary return.
I've got a bit part of this because I kind of pushed for some of this was because of Dan Illich and Mark Fennell came in who were doing a show called Massage My Medium for the Comedy Festival, and yeah, they came in to talk about different sort of economic streams, and that was actually the first time I stopped to think about it, coupled with so many people telling me they were buying DVDs on our recommendation, and I kind of went, why can't they buying DVDs on our recommendation anyway? You know, surely there must be a way. Yeah, it's not going to cost them anymore, and they'll actually probably be quite happy for us to get, you know, a bit of proceeds.
You'd like to think.
Maybe they'll be angry, but so that was kind of like we were talking about and going, well, let's give this stuff a go because we know it can work. I met a gentleman in America when I was over for a film festival, who actually makes his living through a bunch of websites that have links to places like Amazon, and that's actually how he makes his living on things like TexasCooking.com and FriskyFans.com, which reviews gay porn, apparently makes him a lot of money. So who would have thought there's money in gay porn?
Yeah.
So that kind of had me thinking, well, you know, we could, you know, be gay porn millionaires.
Is that your plan?
I'm slowly altering box scanners a little bit week by week.
Right.
You'll be surprised where it'll go. And you'll think, how did we come here? How did we get to this?
So to speak.
So I think it's just a case of, you know, we've been thinking about our lives and where they are. And I think we all enjoy doing box cutters.
The audience interaction. So, like, you know, when you're doing a broadcast radio show, you sit there and you're on air for an hour or whatever, and then that's it.
You're just waiting for that phone light to light up.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. But podcasting, it's 24 hours a day, and you've got to have a blog, and you've got to have it over here, and you've got, I notice that, you know, you guys have got Twitter feeds and all this kind of stuff. How challenging is that?
We've got a Twitter feed?
You've got a Twitter feed. I've got a Twitter feed. Yeah. John doesn't have a Twitter feed.
No, I write things down on paper and just throw them out of windows. Because I think that's as valid, personally. Yeah, I go on street corners and jump up and down shouting, look at me repeatedly, which I think is actually the new Twitter.
As far as your 24-hour communications go, I think that's a great part of podcasting, mm-hmm. that people are listening at any time. And that's one of the reasons that we got a mobile phone number for texting, that people can actually text messages to us that we then get an email of, so that if they're, say, on a bus somewhere or somewhere where they don't have access to the internet but really want to get something off their chest at the moment when they hear us say it, they can send us a text message and get it out of their system, get it to us, and then we've got some content for the show. Well, sure it works out great all around.
Yeah, I'm not sure how intensive, though, it is from our point of view. Like, we put up the blog and people comment and we get the text and the emails, which we then kind of feed back into the show. But that's more like, that's almost like the listener is doing most of the work in that case. They kind of they communicate back to us.
They don't do that much, though.
Is that how you keep them interested?
I think we're fascinating. I think, I think we scintillate them.
I think especially with SMSs and emails that we really do need to take those into the show so that they're not feeling like they're just talking to a brick wall.
And that is the thing, mate. Yeah, it's not a sort of a one-way broadcast system that people are different you and your partner.
Comments on the blog go, because everybody can see those.
Yeah, but even those, we'll bring them up, because not everyone, of course, will be looking at the blog. A lot of people will have it set up on iTunes or whatever. It'll just download straight to their, their computers, and they'll never actually look at the blog ever. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice in that case, I think, also to bring those into the show. And yeah, I mean, that's what I get the feeling. There's a lot of feedback from the audience, but I don't know if we particularly need to do any more than go, the show is here, please love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, kind of where everybody is of the audience as far as that goes is all really mysterious to me. Like, we don't really get an indication of stuff like that.
You don't have like these rabid fans that chase you around, because I know the word got around that you guys were coming in here, it was like, I'm going to make sure that I come in today then. How do you build that audience then? Are you consciously trying to build that audience, or are you just hoping that it happens?
I am, because I'm a media whore.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things I'm doing. One of the things that I saw advantageous in Twitter was that I could just have it automatically say when there's a new episode of Box Cutters out. And then I could wake up in the morning and say, last night I did an episode of Box Cutters, and boy, are my arms tired. And things like that, just trying to get the concept out there.
Mm-hmm. But I think recently, in the last few months, we have kind of gone, it's not just enough to make a program that we think is good. We should probably tell people it exists. So yeah. There has been a bit of a push. And we got an article in Green Guy, which was very exciting in The Age. And we've been reviewed on that podcast show in America. So it's been, we're doing this with you. And I think it's funny how every time we do that, it does seem to have an effect.
Yes.
You know, we get to actually look at numbers and go, there are more listeners.
Well, thanks so much to Box Cutters for dropping into the podcraft.
Sounds like you're winding us up.
I am winding you up.
No.
You can catch the Box Cutters podcast through their website, which is boxcutters.net. If you want to catch up with me, you can email me thepodcraft@gmail.com or follow me on that fabulous Twitter, Jade Gulliver, or you can go online joy.org.au/thepodcraft. Thank you, Josh Canal, Brett Cropley, and John Richards.
Thank you, Jade.
It's been awesome.
Thanks for listening to another Joycast of the Podcraft. For more great Joycasts and the show blog, check out joy.org.au/thepodcraft. The Podcraft is produced by Jade Gulliver, audio assistance by David Lim. Thanks to the support of Joy members and sponsors. To support the station, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.